Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at BetOnline.ag. The NBA is right around the corner, and right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdwrites.com and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Today, we are talking Portland Trail Blazers and Memphis Grizzlies with our friend Steve DeWald of Blazers Edge and USA Today and Mark King, host of Locked On Grizzlies. Let's start with Steve from Blazers Edge. What's going on, man? I heard you just got your little girl to bed.
Not quite. I'm negotiating with a terrorist. So as me and Mark, we were kind of alluding to, is one of the worst parts of parenting is making a threat about behavior and then having to follow through with that threat. So she did not want to wear her rain boots outside. And she, of course, took them off. And then I had to follow through with bringing her back inside, which she was not a fan of. So that's my night. So.
Oh, man. Me and Steve go back to when the Pelicans were playing the Blazers in the playoffs. Then we got to hang out at Summer League, which unfortunately will not be happening this year. You guys can follow him at Steve DeHoops. We also have Mark King and my wife, who is a former performer. She always really enjoys your name because when a performer is not giving their full effort, they're marking.
Nice. Yeah.
That's good. So you can follow him at King_producer. Mark, what's going on, man? You've got a well-oiled machine at home. You've got three, and Are they all in bed?
All in bed. My wife just poked her head in my office to let me know that the baby was officially in bed, and she's going to go watch Netflix by herself. So she's getting some much-needed her time while we talk basketball. So,
wow, your wife is a rock star. We've got just one. She's 3.5 months. It is 9:05. For you, it's 8:05, I imagine. Yep. And our girl is still going strong. Let's talk some basketball, or we'll start with a more national point of view. We'll start with Steve, and then we'll work our way over to Mark. We'll start with some national topics. First of all, Nikola Jokic tests positive, and the Denver Nuggets facility shuts down. 16 of 300 players have tested positive. Rudy Gobert is still experiencing shortness of breath, he says. Steve, unlike in other leagues like in Taiwan and New Zealand with low positive testing per ratio, America is still very much on the rise. In Texas and in Florida, it's over 15% per 100 people are testing positive. Is the league doing the right thing in proceeding?
I mean, it's tough because there is a financial future at stake, but I don't think basketball is a necessary job right now. I mean, yes, you don't want to poo-poo on the work that guys have done their entire careers to get to this point, but this just seems like a bad idea. I mean, you shut down the league in March and there's fewer guys testing positive, there's less cases in the United States, and you shut the league down then. And now you're going to have these guys all report back to their facilities and travel to Orlando when cases are spiking, more players are testing positive. It doesn't make sense to me that it's a sliding scale of justification as far as, or the benchmark for what needs to happen. And it's very bizarre to me, but I do not want to mess with another man's money. And if they are willing to accept the risk, I mean, that is their decision. I will support whatever the players want to do.
And we'll go over to Mark. I know the New Orleans Pelicans have had three players test positive. And I guess I'll give a little bit of breaking news because nobody generally higher up ever contacts me about this podcast and goes, hey, you need to follow up on that. But my wife had surgery. It was pretty serious. I think it was about 6 weeks ago. And one of the people helping her also works with the Orlando Magic. And guess what he told her? Several of the Orlando Magic players also tested positive for coronavirus. So even though only 16 of the 300 players have been registered as testing positive, you know that that number is incrementally higher, we'll just say. We'll go over to Mark now. Memphis, a city proud of its heritage and its young team, Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson, Dylan Brooks, we're all fans. But as Confederate statues continue to be torn down, I can't help but wonder how eyes diverting back to Ja and the Memphis Grizzlies will solve some of our nation's most critical and current problems. Do you think it's going to help or hurt?
Well, you know, it's a tough, you know, the idea of playing basketball, like Steve mentioned, it you know, ultimately it is about money. Let's just be real clear. The only reason we're playing eight games is that figure fits into a very, very, correct box on terms of how many games they need for the completed season technically. So but you know, it's a tough thing to do, you know, to ask a bunch of guys to, when a Black Lives Matter movement is getting so much stronger day by day. And I know that it's not in the news anymore because quite frankly there's just not a lot of cops beating the crap out of people, so you don't see it as much, but it's still there. The protests are still happening every day. They're getting bigger. The movement is gaining some serious momentum, and it feels different to me. And I, again, you know, we're three white dudes talking on a podcast about a subject matter that, quite frankly, we probably are not super qualified to talk about, but that's just what we're here to do. So, you know, it seems like it's different in terms of the amount of traction that it's getting. But at the same time, you know, it's a situation where you're going to have all eyes on Orlando when you do get there, because it is a situation where there's been no sports at all, no real sports to note in terms of major leagues, MLB and NFL, obviously. So the league has a certain spotlight on it, and everybody will be watching all day long. And so whatever social justice statement you want to make every day, I think has generic. I think it has weight. If Ja Morant, after every game, wants to talk about Black Lives Matter and not answer a single question, you know, he's going to get obviously probably get a little, probably maybe some fines, but if that's what he wants to do, then that's, I think is, it has a certain weight and goes a long way to see, you know, get a lot of people's eyeballs on it because everybody would watch it. And sometimes in this day and age that, you know, you're on Facebook or Twitter or social media, you know, you can just kind of tune it out. You can follow the people you want to follow. You can block the people you want to block and never have to see or hear anything from the other side that you don't want to. And so I think that, you know, having eyeballs on you that people may not normally be able to, you know, listen to your messages or receptive to your messages, having those type of people listen to you or see you goes a long way. But at the same time, you know, I've always said this and I will continue to say it, you know, I am not one who thinks we should be qualified to tell other people how to use their platform. You know, you do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel comfortable. And it goes kind of the same way with the COVID-19. You do whatever makes you feel comfortable for your family. If you choose not to play, that's totally okay. And you shouldn't be chastised for that. So if there's anybody who chooses not to play because of, you know, the social injustices that are happening in our country and continue to happen in our country, then that's great. And they should use their platform however they want to use it. But there is a certain, you know, I think that a certain level of what you can expect in terms of getting eyeballs on a message you want eyeballs on a message on.
Yeah, for sure. If I could just take a quick moment just to highlight the Armchair Scholarship that we're working on. Thanks to contributions from Armchair, myself, Music is My Refuge, Ryan Anders 36, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and more, our Armchair Media will be issuing four $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring Black creatives. All you have to do to apply is be under 21 and in a creative field. If you want to apply, send something creative, photography, art, music, anything in that vein, to scholarship at armchairallamericans.com. That's scholarship at armchairallamericans.com. Let's get back to talking about this. The Pelicans are sending everybody. They say everybody's going. Everybody's checked past all their health markers. And in 1 week's time, they're heading down to Orlando. Steve, the Portland Trailblazers, you're getting healthy at just the right time with guys like Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic back into your lineup, although you won't have Rodney Hood. What is the state of your guys? What is their temperament right now? Do you think these guys are hungry and ready to go?
Well, so today I think was kind of the unofficial kind of last cutoff date for guys announcing they're not going. So obviously, yes, Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic are two massive additions. And then I believe I've read it somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but it's also kind of addition by subtraction that you're going to see less of Hassan Whiteside in the lineup with those two guys back. So that's a positive. But I mean, the big loss here is Trevor Ariza, who made the right decision to spend time with his son. This was his kind of his window to spend time custody wise with his son. And obviously when you're scheduling out the season, you're probably not expecting to be busy this time of year if you're Trevor Ariza. So he will not be there. And then also Caleb Swanigan, a little more minor move, did also opted out of the restart as well. So they've already replaced Trevor Ariza with a point guard, Jalen Adams. I really think Portland's mindset here was they were looking at best player available. And I think they probably had Adams pretty high up on the board. He was the runner up to the G League MVP this year. Really talented guard, really good on-ball defender. But I think the plan is to move Gary Trent Jr. into that, probably that small forward position. So Adams is kind of your break in case of emergency glass kind of guy for the guard rotation. It'll be interesting to see if they replace Swanigan because there isn't a cap hit there. They do have a roster spot, but Portland is right against the cap. And as an organization, they just, I believe, laid off 15% of their staff last week. So I don't know what the optics would be to add a salary cap hit like that, especially for a guy who might not see the floor when potentially his salary, you know, could pay for four or five people's full years of wages. So I don't know what they'll do there, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting what Portland's goal here is. And I'm sure we'll touch on the schedule later, so I'll get to it then. But yeah, that's the roster is in all right shape as far as health goes, but there's definitely some key absences
and viable real world concerns to go with it. Let's go over to Mark. Obviously, we love your roster because it's young, it's flashy, it's exciting. Ja Morant, Brandon Clark headlined the group along with Jaren Jackson. And I'm also a fan of Josh Jackson. I think he might be able to resurrect some of his career down there. I enjoyed watching him in the time that I did see him this year. Talk about your group. You're getting Justice Winslow back, somebody we haven't seen in a Grizzlies uniform. How does your squad look, or is everybody also attending Orlando?
Everybody's attending Orlando. There were some talk, you know, Justice Winslow just speaking out, but I think he's expected to be there. No one is staying behind. No one has tested positive. They actually had a conference call with Taylor Jenkins today. So no one's tested positive for COVID-19 for the Grizzlies. So everybody should be there. Everybody's fully healthy. The Grizzlies are in a very unique spot in terms of what they're able to do. I think that something maybe you guys touched on just a minute is that, you know, there's a big difference of going straight back to the games. Cause I think, you know, now they can't even have 5-on-5 scrimmages until they get to Orlando, which is also crazy. So you have a lot of teams that are coming back together, you know, Memphis included, that have not played a long time. And so the Grizzlies have a lot of depth. And I think that's going to come into play when you kind of get into these games, because I think it's going to matter a lot when you have guys who just can play together. And you know, Steve can probably attest to that. A lot of guys that haven't really played together in a long time. And for the Grizzlies and the Blazers, they had their first game together. So that's big for the Grizzlies, having a deep bench. Is that Grayson Allen should be back. Jaren Jackson Jr. was hurt before. He's healthy. Brandon Clark was hurt before. He's healthy. Justice Winslow was hurt before. He's healthy. He'll be starting. So the Grizzlies have a lot of weapons to be able to do different things. Now, on the flip side, it's a team that is untested. It's a team that has never been in the playoffs. It's a team that hasn't really been in games that matter this much. And so, you know, that does go a long way, you know, against just, again, like I'll give, you know, Steve and the Portland Trailblazers are an example of having guys like CJ and Dame who have been there before and over again and know what it takes. And so, you know, there is something to say for learning how to win in this league. And I think you guys would probably agree with that. Like, that's a real thing. Like, learning how to finish games is a real thing. And for the Grizzlies, that's just something they have to do. And so it's a very untested team. And you know, while they're deep, they have a lot of young players who are good. They have a lot of players who, you know, through the roster can be able to be there. But at the same time, you know, learning how to win is something they're going to have to do, and they're going to have to do it quickly.
Yeah, star-studded group, and a lot of uncertainties, as you just mentioned, with getting guys into the lineup who don't have that that consistency or that chemistry built up. But like you just prefaced, the Trailblazers have that and then some, getting to the Western Conference Finals last year, and they were playing really well at the end there. I think they suffered a bit more than any other team. Of course, the initial headline was, oh, the Grizzlies got a tough schedule and the Pelicans got an easy schedule. But that kind of reflected really well what the remaining schedule was going to be. For the Blazers, yeah. It doesn't appear that way for me. They've got the Grizzlies, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the 76ers, the Mavericks, and then they finish with the Nets. That is intense, Steve. Were you surprised at how difficult the schedule became?
I mean, so going into the final stretch of the season, I think the Blazers had the 16th toughest schedule in the league, and now they have, I believe, the fourth toughest schedule in the bubble. So, not ideal by any means, especially when you're looking at, you know, the primary competition, you know, is Memphis, which they don't have as big of a cakewalk as the Pelicans have, but it's not ideal. I think though, with Damian Lillard, his mantra or his attitude since he's been in the league is this big chip on his shoulder type attitude. When he gets voted out of the All-Star game or doesn't get selected, that's when you see the Blazers go on a 12 game winning streak or him score above 35 points per game, you know, for a month straight. So it'll be interesting to see if any of that energy transfers, and then just reel back to the veteran presence. I mean, not only have Dame and CJ played together, but I know it sounds kind of laughable, but Carmelo Anthony was a bright spot for the Blazers this year. And I'm interested to see how he comes back to the bubble, because I mean, really, he came off the couch in November and was playing real minutes for the Blazers. And I think it just kind of speaks to, when you have those guys on your roster that are professionals and been professionals for a long time, I think those guys know when their body's right and when it's in tune and how it's working. And I mean, for the Pelicans, when you have a guy like JJ Redick, who's kind of in the same boat. So I'm interested to see how those guys are going to help, especially with the grueling schedule the Blazers are going to face.
Yeah, let's go over the Grizzlies schedule. We knew it was going to be a little bit intense, but when you look at it on paper, it's a lot more workable than you might have thought. Of course, you start with the Blazers, you got the Spurs, you got the Pelicans, and then you've got the Jazz, Thunder, Raptors, Celtics, and Bucks. But those first three games, if you can manage to sweep those, that's really all you need to at least secure the eighth spot for that play-in, and then somebody's going to have to beat you twice. How do you feel looking at this schedule, Mark?
You know, I thought it was a great get for the Grizzlies, honestly. I thought it was something that you really, honestly, and when all things are considered, when you looked at the schedule at the end of the year and you had the hardest remaining schedule, and, you know, you go from that to what they have now, which is, I think, you know, it's one of the tougher ones, but in terms of schedules, everybody's tougher because you weed out all the crappy teams. So, like, they get to go away. Now you have to all play playoff teams, essentially. And so, I thought it was great for the Grizzlies. You know, like I said before in my previous answer, I think a lot of these games will come down to teams that just gel better and teams that can get back together better. Like Steve mentioned, there's a lot of guys that just haven't played together. You know, that goes for everybody up and down the list on each roster, Grizzlies included. It's going to be about teams that just really gel together, who can come back and be together better, faster than everybody else, because they're just not going to have a lot of time. I don't care how fit you are, I don't care how well you've eaten, nothing prepares you for playing an NBA basketball game like playing an NBA basketball game. That's just all there is to it. And so I think that's going to go a long way. And so you have the Blazers, which I think is a tough game, but the Grizzlies have other teams like the Jazz, who have obviously Bogdanovich is not going to be there. Mike Conley has not played well this year. You know, will they even play Rudy Gobert all those minutes? Like, in a game that doesn't matter, will he even play all those minutes if he's still suffering from some, you know, still feeling the effects of COVID-19, like those type of things? And you have on the back half three games against three powerhouse Eastern Conference teams, and you know they're not playing Giannis. You know the Bucks are not playing Giannis. You know the Celtics are not playing all their guys. I mean, these are just games that you would see normally at the end of a regular NBA season that look like really hard games, but they ended up being easier games because they're limiting the rotation to get guys healthy and ready for the playoffs. So for me, you can't ask for a better matchup when those three tough teams come on the back half of the schedule, when hopefully, in all honesty, probably won't be playing all of their guys, at least not all their minutes like they normally would. So I think the Grizzlies got a really, really good schedule in terms of, you know, everybody's got a difficult one, but I think the Grizzlies caught some breaks in theirs.
Steve, you know, we look at the numbers and we talk about regular season matchups that we've already seen and how teams stacked up against one another. But this is honestly something that no player or person has really ever experienced in the manner in which these guys are going to be living, the quarantining of 7 to 10 days to start everything, being restricted from leaving the hotel, the amount of cabin fever that could come with that. Drew Holiday commented on that today about just how mentally challenging all of this is going to be. Nobody is suited to prepare for this. There is really no viable way to prepare for this, to stay in your hotel room all day and then play some of the 48 hardest minutes of your life. You've got a lot of veterans on your team in Portland. Do you think that gives them an advantage?
I mean, I do and I don't. I also think one thing that they haven't talked about is Portland has two young guys that probably have cell phones full of phone numbers that are from Orlando. So that could always be interesting. I think definitely, I think if that team, if they're sending Lillard down there, I think that they're there to play and he runs a tight ship. And especially there's a lot at stake for Portland, even if they fall short of the playoffs. I mean, this is really a good way to see what Yusuf Nurkic is going to look like after being off the court for over a year. And then also with Zach Collins, who's, you know, heading into, they had the option to extend him, but he's heading into the year before he'd hit restricted free agency. And if you want to talk about a guy who, this franchise is investing, you know, a lot of their future hopes in him, and there's not a lot of, he doesn't have a very large resume. So to see how he works, and they've never really seen how this lineup looks with Nurkic and him sharing the court at the same time. So I think this will be interesting to see how those guys mesh. And really kind of one of the advantages of having these guys coming off injuries is that they have been in the team facility. They have been working with coaches throughout this because they, you know, they're rehabilitating an injury. There was some time where it was shut down, but for the most part, these guys have been in the gym and they have been preparing. So I think that will be a factor as long, along with kind of that veteran makeup of the team. But the Ariza departure is huge because now you're taking a second year guy like Gary Trent Jr. and really putting him in a big spot, which he was playing very well down the stretch of the season, but this is a totally different animal down in Orlando.
Oh God. Those are the screams I used to make when I'd cut myself shaving, you know where, but that was before Manscaped. Thanks Manscaped for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. Look, who here doesn't get nervous about grooming their man parts? And that's why Manscaped created the Lawnmower 3.0, beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your family jewels. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pics so I could see the smoothness for myself. And they aren't kidding. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at betonline.ag. The NBA is right around the corner, and right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. All right, we're going to pose the same question to Mark. And the Pelicans have a couple of young guys, 22-year-olds in Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, 19 years old, and Zion Williamson, of course, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Jackson Hayes. All in all, it's a pretty young group. But the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't have it in front of me, but they might be even younger. Do you think this is going to pose a more difficult challenge to these young guys than it would a veteran squad?
I mean, have you guys ever been on a field trip in high school and just stayed in your room? Like, even with the tape on your doors, you know what I mean? Like, you guys remember that? Like, teachers would put tape on your doors, and then you weren't supposed to leave. If they broke the tape, then they know you left. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I think there are people that are going to leave. You're asking a bunch of 20-year-old kids not to go do something when, you know, like, you specifically tell them not, like, we all have kids. Like, we tell our kids, like, hey, don't do that. Like, the most likely scenario is that they do those things. So, you know, just coming from a realistic scenario, I think there are people who are going to leave. Like, people are going to go out. People are going to do whatever they want to do. I just don't know how how you police that. I just don't know how the NBA does anything about it if they do. You know, I think and I hope for the Grizzlies and for everybody's players and all the teams that, you know, they understand kind of the bigger picture of what they're trying to do. Obviously, money should be a big factor because, you know, I think for me personally, I think that we'll start the season, but I'm not sure we're going to finish it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I just don't know. I'm very pessimistic about finishing this season. I think they're going to start it because I think that's what they've said it. And then now they have to just follow through and kind of do it. Like we were talking earlier as parents, you got to follow through sometimes. And I think the NBA has done the same thing. They put themselves into a corner where they just got to go. But I just don't know if they finish because I don't know. Once you get down there, I can't imagine how you keep all those people in line when, you know, you're not their parents, they're adults. You know, you can't be around them 24/7. You can't be holding their hand. And so, you know, hopefully everybody acts like adults, but we've come to see over the years as NBA players, it's, you know, young kids with a lot of money, it generally doesn't happen.
Yeah. I can't imagine myself in the same situation.
I mean, I wouldn't stay in there. That's for sure. And I'm just kidding. I mean, these kids have a ton of money. Like, and it's just, you just put them in a situation where they're not supposed to do something. And it's just difficult to ask them to do those things. And so, like I mentioned, I hope for everybody's sake, they just understand the gravity of the situation. You know, if my 5-year-old can wear a mask all day, hopefully these guys can figure it out.
Yeah, 100%. And asking them not to interact with these Disney cast members, of which there will be plenty, I'd imagine somewhere between 500 to 1,000 will be working at the Yacht Club, Grand Destino, Grand Floridian, in addition to ESPN Wide World of Sports. And they're going to be asked not to talk to these people, not to come within 10 to 12 feet of these people at the bare minimum. And Adam Silver said, Steve, he said, certainly if we had a lot of cases, we are going to stop. You cannot run from this virus. As it stands right now, Steve, I don't know what their benchmark is for a lot of cases. Right now, we've already seen several players test positive. How many players would it take? Would it take a whole team? What would it take for the NBA to just put a stop to all this?
I don't know what their threshold is, and I imagine that threshold moves once the 8 games are done and the regional TV contracts are met. Like, I think, like Mark kind of alluded to, is I think this bubble's going to start. And I really don't even like calling it a bubble because it's not. I think this restart's going to happen, and whether or not it finishes, I'm in Mark's camp. I'm pretty skeptical that this thing's going to play out. But I think it's a sliding scale. I don't want to put a number on it, but I would imagine that number is probably a lot higher at the outset of this. And then once they fulfill those TV contracts, that threshold might come to a point where you might see this league stop, especially if teams are shutting down or if there's a major injury or a series of injuries. And I don't even think it has to be to a star player. I think if enough of these union members see their guys put in harm's way needlessly, like I think I could see them pulling the plug.
This is for Mark. Adam Silver was quoted by The Score as saying, "I will be there at the beginning, but I'm going to come and go." Obviously, this is problematic, number one, because you're breaking the bubble. That's not quite a bubble, the mesh hat. But it's also problematic in that you are not doing what you're telling players to do, sort of being hypocritical in that you're asking, you know, hundreds of players to sit and stay in their hotel rooms while he comes and goes as he pleases. Do you see something like that being problematic from a player's point of view?
Well, you know, you got to look at it like this. If you're working in a company and your boss says, "Hey, I need you in your office all day long, 8 hours a day," but then your boss is, you know, takes a 4-hour lunch. You look at that and you go, "Huh, that's weird. Like, I can only have 30 minutes, but this guy can take 4 hours." Like, you know, like it doesn't mean anything right away, but you know, that kind of stuff does seep in, and it does give you the wrong impression. You know, as a person who is asking people to do a certain thing, you should be able to be willing to do that certain thing as well. And so, you know, I think that no player is going to obviously say that publicly. No player will ever tell you, "Yes, I have a problem with it." But I think that, you know, in conversation with each other or privately, I think it would definitely be an issue. I mean, it would be an issue for me if it were my business, and I can say, "Hey, you know, why can't I do exactly what you're doing? How come you get the special treatment and I don't?" And so I think it's definitely a situation where, you know, you want to You want to be able to kind of put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And so you definitely want to be able to show people that you're willing to do the things that you're asking them to do. But, you know, I just want to tell one thing about what you asked Steve also is I think it is a situation of not so how many, but who. Like, if we come back and LeBron and James Harden and CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard all contracted within a week, like, is that a big deal? Like, if you're the Lakers fan and or LeBron gets it in the first round of the playoffs and then you end up losing to the Grizzlies because of it, if you're a Lakers fan, like, or you're the Lakers front office, how are you going to be like, how will you be okay with that? And so I think there is a threshold of not only how many players, but who those players are. Because if LeBron gets it, it's not good. If Grayson Allen gets it, no one cares because Grayson Allen's probably not playing a lot. I think those are very different things and something that the NBA has to consider.
Yeah, that's something that if I was a player, I would want to know. I would want to know exactly what the conditions and thresholds are involved in that because, you know, if you say that Alex Caruso gets COVID and the Lakers continue playing, but if LeBron James gets COVID, then all of a sudden everything's shut down. It seems like a double standard. It seems like you're valuing one person's long-term health over another. That's just my point of view. But obviously, they've got to do what they got to do. They got to take the risk. There's a lot of money involved. And I talked to an epidemiologist, the medical director of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he was very confident in their plan. So fingers crossed, I guess, Steve. So Steve, let's go ahead and talk about the NK2K1 cover, Damian Lillard. It's kind of funny that Damian and Zion are both in the covers because the NBA 2K cover is now currently being represented by players who are not in the playoff picture as of today. But what was Portland's reaction to having Dame on there?
I think for us, I think, I mean, I kind of speaking for myself, but I mean, Lillard joined a short list of players who have been on the cover of NBA Live, which granted was a lot more prominent about a decade ago, and NBA 2K. So I think that list is pretty short, but I think Portland likes to see their stars in the spotlight. I think there's always that kind of complex. I mean, Pelicans fans can certainly attest to this, and to Grizzlies fans to some extent, but I mean, it's always nice to see them get some attention. It seems to keep the Lakers away for a little longer. So that's what we're hoping. So it was cool to see. It's cool to see him recognize. I mean, he is a well-oiled machine when it comes to the business side of this. He does very well. So it's not too shocking to see that, but it's always nice to see kind of a guy from a smaller market get represented like that.
And speaking of a guy from a smaller market, I think when you've got Zion on the cover who played 19 games, although I'll be the first to say he's the only rookie ever to do 23.6 rebounds while shooting over 55% from the field. The only other person who came close was Shaq. But Ja Morant has some pretty interesting numbers, too. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like he's the only rookie ever to score 17 points with 8 assists while also shooting. I can't remember what it was, effective field goal percentage of a certain number. I think he shot over 37 or 38% from three. Nobody at that volume had done that. Something like that. Anyway, a very respectable season in his own right. Very much worthy of the rookie of the year. What was Grizzlies fans' reaction to seeing Zion on that cover instead of Ja?
Well, you know, like Ja has set a lot of rookie records this year. A lot of those things you're talking about, like it's been a lot of things, honestly, he's done. And quite frankly, Zion and Ja are going to continue to do that side by side, I think, for a lot of years. But, you know, there is a certain – the Grizzlies fans have a certain, like – they have a certain just – I think they've been beat down so much over the years. They're just kind of like there's this – permanent chip on their shoulder, and it's, you know, just like a permanent, like, just I think probably most of our fan bases are all like that, though, in terms of the Pelicans and the Trailblazers are probably similar, but the Grizzlies had this, you know, they've just been beat down so much, so you see that there's a lot of roll in their eyes, there's a lot of Twitter fights, which I have found to be mildly infuriating but hilarious at the same time. So I'm all for it. I think it's a rivalry that's brewing between Ja and Zion because of those two guys and no one else really. But it's a rivalry that's brewing, and I think will be fun to participate in for a long time because those guys are going to be in our franchises for a long time. But yeah, a lot of eye rolling, a lot of I can't believe this. You know, he's only done 19. He's only done this. Ja's been doing the whole season, which You know, it's true. You know, John's done a lot of things this season, and Zion has not been around a lot. But, you know, I think Grizzlies fans will say that, but I think secretly they'll be willing to admit that, you know, John can be awesome and great and a superstar, but so can Zion. Like, those two can coexist, and are only going to make the league better and our franchises better and raise the level for years to come.
You guys gave us some great stuff. I'll get you out on one more. Before I do that, I just want to give that statistic. Only one of two rookies ever with 17.5 points over 6.5 rebounds while shooting above 50% effective field goal percentage. The only other player to do it was Magic Johnson. Steve, let's get some predictions, man. Obviously, there's uncertain variables that will be entering our lives between now and July 30th when games start. But just as everything's slated currently right now, who do you think earns that eighth? And I'm fully expecting there to be a play-in in the Western Conference. I think the NBA will do whatever it has to get that play-in. Who do you think gets that eighth and ninth spot?
That's tough.
If you say the Trailblazers, Steve, you're dead to me. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, when you look at the schedule, and it seems, I don't think the league would ever tamper too hard, but it certainly looks like they want Zion in the playoffs, and that would be an interesting thing to play out. But that Grizzlies team does not get enough credit. Taylor Jenkins is a great coach. He should be a bigger story of the success he's had there, in this short of time with that young of a roster and with them at full strength. I mean, a week ago, I'm writing about, I hope the Blazers can somehow get Anthony Tolliver back, which is a testament to how shallow the Blazers bench is and also how healthy the Grizzlies have gotten over this break. So I think I'm going to go ahead and I think it's going to be a playing game between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, and I'm going to give the Grizzlies the edge.
Wow, Steve, how kind of you. All right, Mark, so if it's going to be those two, and we're assuming with a 3.5 game lead that Grizzlies are going to maintain their hold on the eighth spot, if that's the case, the Pelicans will have to beat them three times in, I don't know, 2 weeks, and they'll have to beat them potentially all five times throughout the 2019-2020 season. Can you understate just how tall of an ass that is to ask a team to beat another team five times in one season?
Oh, first of all, before I start, Steve, I will Venmo your money. Just don't worry. I got you, buddy. But no, you know, that's a big thing. It is a lot to be able. I mean, there's a reason we have seven game series, right, in the playoffs, because, you know, it's a difficult ask to beat that many, you know, even for the best teams. You see it all the time. I mean, even in first round matchups when, you know, the majority of the teams are much better than the 8 seed and the, you know, the 1-8 matchups or the 2-7 matchups. The majority they're just so much better, it doesn't matter. And so you do see a lot of sweeps, but there's a lot of times where you do see a five game series because it's just difficult to beat a team five games in a row. Especially
I feel a little triggered that I'm a Blazer fan in here talking to Pelicans and Grizzlies people, both teams that have swept the Blazers. All right, well, gentlemen sweep in the Grizzlies case. But yeah, I wanted that to be noted.
I mean, you're right, though. I mean, it's a tough and tall ask. I mean, like I said, Steve mentioned Taylor Jenkins, and he's right. Taylor Jenkins has done an amazing job this year. Something that doesn't get talked about, I don't think, at all. And not even like a lot from Grizzlies fans or writers. Like, Taylor Jenkins has done an absolute crazy job with what he's, I mean, almost so much. I think he should, I know it's never going to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year, but I think he should be like talked about. Like, it should be something people mention. I know he's never going to win, but what he's done this year is nothing short of amazing with the roster turnover, with the amount of new guys, young guys, still on offense. I mean, just all around great. So yeah, it's a tough task to beat a team five times in a row. You know, I think the Grizzlies are going to probably be there along with the Pelicans in the play-in. Steve, I think the Grizzlies are going to beat the Trailblazers in the first game. I've already done a schedule episode. This is kind of what I said, so I have to just keep going with it, even in front of you. Yeah. But although I did say they were going to lose to the Pelicans that first game, so or that game they play in the season, but I think they'll probably end up in the play-in. And again, in that play-in, you having to beat the team twice with the Grizzlies only have to beat the Pelicans once. Like, that's, again, that's still tough. Like, having to beat them two times in a row, and they only got to beat you once. And that's just a tough ask. So Hopefully for me, I think the Grizzlies will be in. I hope that's the case just for myself because I'm a fan. But I do think it goes to show that it's still not going to be easy. And there's still a lot of tough games to play.
All of this could be irrelevant a month from now when Ja, Zion, and Dame Lillard all come down with COVID within a week's time. Or God forbid, we haven't even talked about injuries, like, you know, asking these guys to, like you mentioned, play 5-on-5 2 weeks from some of the hardest games of their lives or of the regular season. Let's not overplay it. But guys, you've been so generous with your time. We've been talking for 40 minutes now. Let me just throw it over to Steve DeWald. You can follow him at Steve D Hoops of Blazers Edge and USA Today. Anything else you want to say?
If you guys get a chance, even if you're not a Blazers fan or a fringe Blazers fan, we put a lot of work into this when this went down. We did a top 100 of all the Blazers influencers over the years. A lot of work went into that from our entire staff. It's, if you go to blazersedge.com, it's right below the banner. You can get to it. It has the list of a full 100. It's really a lot of work. We probably should have packaged it in a way where we probably could have got a little more money for it, but it's a lot of work. Please check it out. Those page views matter, especially right now. So if you can go to blazersedge.com, check out our top 100 list. It's very interesting and very insightful from a staff that, you know, I'm very lucky to be a part of over there.
Awesome stuff. We've also got Mark King, host of Locked On Grizzlies. You can follow him at King_producer. I know you're working on a lot of stuff, Mark. Anything you want to plug?
Nothing that we can say out loud, but there are some coming stuff for my Grizzlies coverage that is going to change for me. But you know, I would say the same thing as Steven says. You know, go check out all of our shows, you know, especially mine included, more so than those other two guys, but go check out all of our shows. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. I don't care if you don't have to ever listen. You know, they automatically download, so I get the downloads anyway. So you know, that's how I get paid. That's how we all get paid here. So you know, just go subscribe. Help a brother out.
Yeah, and it really takes like, what, 30 seconds to go into iTunes and give that 5-star review.
Never listen. Don't care if you listen.
You'll probably like the pod better if you don't.
Exactly.
All right, you guys, that's all the time we have for now. Remember, if you like what you're hearing, do just that. Retweet, share, rate us on iTunes, all that good stuff. And if you already have, Mark, this is a tip I give to people and Steve, just take somebody else's phone. Take your wife's phone. Take your friend's phone. Take your daughter's phone. Just do it on that. It really does help, as Mark just prefaced. For now, it's exciting. We're back to practices. We'll have some games pretty soon. For now, let's dance and let's go Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.